presented by Amazon.
Hey, good morning, Playbookers. It's Friday, June 18th. I'm Raghu Manavalan, and this is your Politico Playbook Daily Briefing. It's a quiet day in D.C. today with the federal holiday of Juneteenth. President Biden is back home acclimating after his trip through Europe. Both chambers of Congress are out today, so we're taking a step back to look at one of the central figures in the Senate today.
Senator McCain talked of what is possible when the Senate works the way that it was meant to work. He stood for everything we stand for as Arizonans, fighting for what you believe in, standing up for what's right, even if you stand alone.
Kyrsten Sinema's advisors heard it constantly from her during her 2018 campaign for Senate. Quote, "I want to be the next John McCain." This year, when she voted against raising the minimum wage, she even mimicked McCain's iconic thumbs down that ended the GOP's effort to end Obamacare. Now Senator Sinema's commanding the spotlight not only as one of the few potential swing votes in a hyper-partisan Congress, but as a lead negotiator on an infrastructure deal that could determine the success of President Joe Biden's first term. If she pulls it off, she'll establish herself, like McCain, as a major legislative force. McCain is obviously a singular figure in American politics. He spent decades cultivating his maverick image, but Sinema's current and former colleagues say the two do share some traits. One, she doesn't like to be told what to do. Two, she's unafraid to buck her party. And three, she even at times seems to relish it. Now, Sinema doesn't really fit in with the Democrats. She's been known to skip party lunches. She even missed out on Vice President Kamala Harris's dinner with other female senators from earlier this week. Her staff told us that she had to miss the dinner because she broke her foot. But in the meantime, she's been on a charm offensive with Republicans. They say that they can trust her, that she keeps her word. But on the flip side, some Democrats worry that she's feeling the love from Republicans only because they need her while they're in the minority. A senior Democratic Hill official told us she's still new. That's the bottom line. Do you think if the Republicans were in the majority, they would care about Sinema? She has to be wary of the relevancy trap. You can easily be beguiled by the moment. It's a mistake of early legislators who want to make inroads with the other side at the expense of their own caucus, of their advancement, and at the expense of their state. It's worth noting that Kyrsten Sinema was the first Democrat to win a Senate seat in Arizona since 1995, and she won with a small margin. A former Sinema aide warned that she's not reading the Democratic Party in Arizona if she thinks McCain is the person to emulate. Quote, "She's trying hard to brand herself as a brand of Arizonan that doesn't exist anymore. It's misguided to look backward than forward. You can't be a carbon copy because it won't work." It is worth noting that President Biden did win Arizona back in the 2020 election. Politico's Daniel Lipman reports that the third-ranking House Republican, Elise Stefanik, who questioned the legitimacy of the 2020 election and voted against certification of Joe Biden's win, currently serves as a board member for a revered U.S. organization dedicated to the promotion of democracy. The Congresswoman's position on the National Endowment for Democracy's board has rankled fellow Republicans, foreign policy scholars, and even some former NED board members who say that her statements, along with the support for GOP-authored election laws, are at odds with the organization's mission. Here's what's up in Washington today, starting with the White House. At 10:30 a.m. Eastern, the president will receive the president's daily brief. At 2:15, President Biden will speak about the pandemic and vaccination push. At 2:55, he'll head to Wilmington, Delaware. Here's what's on the vice president's agenda today. At 9:30 a.m. Eastern, Vice President Harris will travel to Atlanta, where she'll visit a pop-up vaccination site. She'll take part in a voting rights discussion with local community leaders before heading back to D.C. at 6:15 p.m. The House and Senate are out today. One more thing before we get out of here. It is a Friday, and that means another new episode of Politico Deep Dive just dropped. This week, the race for New York City mayor might be the most drama-filled election of the year. Politico Deep Dive unpacks the mayoral race and what New Yorkers really think. Check it out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or elsewhere. That's all I've got for you today. For more news on what's breaking in DC right now, subscribe to the Playbook newsletter at politico.com/playbook. Our music is composed by Break Master Cylinder. The senior producer of audio here at Politico is Jenny Ament. Irene Noguchi is our executive producer and head of audio. I'm Raghu Manavolan. Have a lovely holiday weekend. We'll see you first thing Monday morning.
The federal minimum wage has been stuck at $7.25 an hour since 2009. In the same time, food and beverage costs have increased 18%. Transportation costs up 16%, housing costs up 23%, and medical costs up 32%. In 2018, Amazon introduced a starting wage of at least $15 an hour for all U.S. employees. A new, independent study found that Amazon's wage increase produced a 2.6% increase in the average hourly wage among other employers in the same market. Learn more at aboutamazon.com/15.